The Cross and Its Shadow by Stephen N. Haskell, narrated by Timothy Turner. Chapter 41. Naphtali. Naphtali, the sixth son of Jacob, was the second son of Bilhah, Rachel's maid. The Bible is silent in regard to his personal history, except the statement that he had four sons, from whom sprang the tribe of Naphtali. But Jewish tradition states that Naphtali was noted as a swift runner, and that he was chosen by Joseph as one of the five to represent the family before Pharaoh. In Jacob's dying blessing, Judah was compared to a lion, Dan to a serpent, Issachar to a strong ass, Benjamin to a wolf. But Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. A hind or a female deer is a timid animal, ready to flee at the first approach of danger. No one would attempt to bind a burden on a deer. Naphtali indicates a character quite different from Issachar, couching down between two burdens, or Judah with his kingly power. Yet Naphtali was a precious gift that everyone may covet. He giveth goodly words, unencumbered by many of the heavy burdens and responsibilities borne by some of his brethren. He has time to find those who are downcast and discouraged, and by his goodly words to encourage the despondent and comfort the sorrowful. Naphtali does not represent the unruly tongue that is set on fire of hell. Far from it, for he giveth goodly words, and pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Let no one think, because Naphtali spoke goodly words, that he represented a light, unstable character. For in the great typical battle of Megiddo, Naphtali were a people that jeopardized their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. The literal translation of the original is very emphatic. They desolated their lives to death. They were determined to conquer or die, and therefore plunged into the thickest of the battle. The cause of God was more precious to them than life, and they did not shrink from fighting in the high places of the field, exposed to the fiery darts of the enemy, if the success of the battle demanded it. There will be 12,000 of the tribe of Naphtali that throughout all eternity will follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. 12,000 that during their probationary life on this earth spoke goodly words, and in difficult places fearlessly stood firm at their post of duty, ready to sacrifice their lives rather than compromise the cause of God. In Moses' last blessing of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor, and full with the blessing of the Lord. Surely this is a condition to be coveted by every child of God, satisfied with favor. The Lord greatly favors everyone whose sins are forgiven. But how often we are dissatisfied and impatient, and go through life with downcast faces. Because we are not satisfied with favor, we are not full with the blessing of the Lord. The child of God who fully realizes what it is to be cleansed from sin and clothed with Christ's righteousness will be satisfied with favor, and if he appreciates the many blessings he receives at the hand of the Lord and counts them over day by day, he will find that his life is full with the blessing of the Lord. Naphtali joined with the rest of Israel in crowning David king of Hebron, and the record states that with other northern tribes they brought large quantities of provisions to Hebron at that time. Barak of Kadesh Naphtali is the only great hero of this tribe mentioned in the Bible. The battle fought by him, under the direction of Deborah, the prophetess, was in many respects the grandest battle fought by the ancient people of God, and is a type or object lesson of the great battle of Armageddon. The territory bordering on the west shore of the Sea of Galilee and extending northward was given to Naphtali. It was a fertile country, and during the reign of Solomon was one of his commissariat districts, in charge of Ahimaaz, a son-in-law of the king. The territory of Naphtali lay in the path of Syrian and Assyrian invaders. It was from the goodly land of Naphtali that Ben-Hadad and Tiglath-Pileser had their first taste of the plunder of the Israelites. In 730 BC, Tiglath-Pileser, overran the whole of the north of Israel, and the tribe of Naphtali was carried captive into Assyria. In the time of Christ, Naphtali no longer possessed the shore of the Sea of Galilee, but it was to be far more renowned than when held by him. Isaiah, more than 700 years before Christ, had prophesied that the land of Zebulun and of Naphtali would see a great light, and in fulfillment of it, Jesus, the light of the world, had his home in Galilee. It was the cradle of the Christian faith, and from the shores of the Sea of Galilee, the leading disciples were called to their life work. O Galilee, sweet Galilee, what memories rise at thought of thee! In mortal guise upon thy shore, the Savior trod, whom we adore. The waves which once his vessel bore will sound his praise forevermore. And from the depths, beloved sea, we hear the call, Come, follow me. Through ages yet to come, thy name will sound his praise forevermore. 'Tis hallowed ground where once he trod, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God. O Galilee, sweet Galilee, thy blessed name will sacred be in every clime, on every shore, till sun shall set to rise no more. A poem by Mrs. C. L. Shacklock.